No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders at the National, our second show. I am Adam Weinrub, joined as always by FanSided's MLB insider Robert Murray. When we were here yesterday morning, we had not spent much time at the National. We hadn't gotten a feel and a lay of the land yet. We explored yesterday. We talked to a lot of great people backstage behind the autograph booth. We picked up the interviews we were looking for. We had an amazing time meeting some legends of the game. And we're going to talk today about our experience here. We're even going to open a pack of the Leaf 15th Anniversary National Exclusive. We're so psyched to have one of those. I told you yesterday we wanted to rip live on air, and we're going to get a chance to, so hopefully we pull something crazy, and I tell you, you have no idea what's going to be in this pack. It could be AJ, it could be Big Justice, it could be either of them, it could be the Rizzler, we just don't know. But we're also going to get into a little bit of trade deadline, awards, second half predictions, and obviously answer any of your questions if you do got them. And the man of the hour, of course, as always, is FanSided MLB Insider Robert Murray. Robert, thank you for doing this with me, and we got a pile of cards here, and I'm excited to sift through them with you.
Yeah, where do we even get these cards, by the way? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they just randomly showed up here, and now here we are looking at them, and I cannot wait to open up that pack as well. So good to be here with you as always, Adam. This event has been absolutely insane. Very excited to get going today and get to talking about this, because, I mean, this event has way exceeded my expectations. Like, getting to meet all those people yesterday, I mean, blown away. Giannis Antetokounmpo, by the way, is the tallest person I've ever seen in my entire life. I didn't know people could get that tall, but here we are now. I'm excited to talk about a trade deadline, but good to be here with you as always. Much love, brother. How are we doing?
Good to be here with you as always. Feeling good. I'm going to honestly say, you saw Giannis. He was crazy huge. Will Perdue, we saw today, was maybe even larger and had a differently sized, like a normal human torso. So, and then just the longest legs in the history of the universe. The number of legends we saw just walking past us the last couple of days. So update on spending and too on what we bought at this event. Now, yesterday I said I had a personal max of 150, but I was looking for a Don Drysdale auto at 60, which I understood was a little bit of a bargain. I'm probably not going to find that. I did not find that. I saw a ball certified for like 220. I saw Life Magazine for like 250, a little outside the price range. So we kept it to 150 plus 14. Spent 164. That is almost $150.
Proud of you.
Kind of what I said I was going to do. Picked up Willie Stargell for the Hall of Famer Auto Collection on a Perez Steel. Met Ozzie Smith. Picked up a Jack McKeon certified auto today and a Thurman Munson rookie card PSA 3. So all personal collection, no resell. 164 is close to what I said. Did you get tempted by anything? Did you buy anything, or were you just sort of window shopping?
I was just looking at things, and I only bought food. So that's not going to be the tubby allegations in the Discord, but no. I bought a lot of food. I saw some really cool things. I mentioned the Ichiro thing yesterday. Yeah. That was like $35,000, and I saw so much different cool stuff here as well. The cards, just the overall, whether it's rookies or Hall of Famers, cards that are like three times older than me. It was the variety here and just the people and the passion that was here. I thought it was a really cool deal. And I'm kind of bummed to be leaving. I'm excited to get back to Arizona, but like this event and just Chicago overall has been just an absolute blessing. I'm really glad we came here.
Yeah, I'm excited to hopefully do this in the future too, getting the lay of the land for Chicago, year one of three here at the National in Chicago. Everybody, again, I said when I was 13, I didn't know what kind of people, you know, who you'd interact with, how it would feel. You know, this is plussed up. This is so pristine. The amount of incredible, you know, the variety of memorabilia cannot be matched. And this pack is going to haunt me for the full show before we can open it. But I want to get into a little bit of the guys that we saw, spoke to yesterday, today, the day before. Again, you know, a Rolodex, 25, 30, 35 baseball Hall of Famers, legends of the game. Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols yesterday both signed a baseball that has been signed by the entire 500 home run club. Babe Ruth, Jimmy Fox, I mean, a vintage yellowed leather baseball signed by everyone who's ever drilled 500 homers. They added Pujols, Miguel Cabrera yesterday. Miggy backstage could not have been more excited about doing that. We also saw, I will add Felix Hernandez today to the list of most swagged out athletes. Patrick Ewing had a New Yorker Nowhere full sweatsuit combo.
Wait, hang on, don't you have that sweatshirt that he was wearing?
So I have the Patrick Ewing sweatshirt in cream. He has it in black, and he also has it in size quad XL. All
right, wait, is that not your size?
Oh, yeah, no, we have the same size is what I'm saying. It's amazing, but it's a different color. But yeah, Ewing head to toe in Knicks strip, Spike Lee head to toe in like Knicks zip up.
Spike Lee, I mean, that's the swaggiest guy that we saw here by far.
Yeah, so we got Spike Lee to stop yesterday, and I was like, I'm a Knicks fan, and I was like, we're going to get him for like a good, like we're only getting a couple questions out with these guys, but Spike, I have a feeling that we can get 5 minutes maybe. I'm a Knicks fan, it's not hard to sell him on it. He stops, we pull him over, and I just asked about, hey, the Mike Brown era is starting, you know, that we're saying goodbye to Coach Tibbs. How do you feel about the opening of a new era? Like a positive spin question. And he just looked at me and goes, I got a really quick answer for you. Orange and blue skies. And then he zipped out of the frame like a
walked
little
away.
Sprite. Walked away like the magical being, and he was gone. So it was incredibly cool to even have that 20 seconds with Spike, but I did think we were going to get longer. Yeah. Who were you sort of most in awe of? It's hard to sort of be in awe when you're just running into legend after legend, but who took your breath away a little bit?
Well, Giannis, first of all.
Yeah, Giannis was crazy.
And then watching him like poke his head through the curtains to try to surprise the fans and just hearing the fans go nuts, that was a really cool deal. And you could just, everyone there either had like PR people with them or just like family, and Giannis had his brothers with him.
Yeah.
He had like the actual like police, I mean high ranking members of the police as well. I mean it was like he had a posse there, and I mean when you're a star as big as Giannis, I mean you absolutely need that. Another one would be Carlos Zambrano and especially with his thoughts on the Triple Crown winner.
Yeah,
when a certain media member asked him about that, thought that was pretty cool and pretty interesting. But there was just so many cool people overall that it was. Michael Vick was really cool. I was an Eagles fan, watching him and just the swag that he's got, and he knows like he's one of the best. And I think you were the one who told me that he signed somebody's Madden cover when he was the Madden guy.
Yeah, Michael Vick, the 04 Madden, whatever it is, when he was on the Falcons, he signed a PS2 copy of Madden 04, which is, I mean, a lot of people got a lot of unique items. Backstage, I saw like a Pro Football Hall of Fame helmet covered in 90 signatures. Jim Brown Hall of Fame, 71 at the top. Dan Marino down to Randy Gratishar, who got inducted last year.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that'll drop your jaw, but the creativity from some people, the Michael Vick Madden cover, we asked. We asked everybody we talked to today, Raleigh Fingers, Trevor Hoffman, you know, the weirdest items you've signed and you've signed at the National. And Raleigh Fingers said people were pretty tame at the National, but he has signed someone's prosthetic leg in the past. He said somebody just detached the leg, dropped it on the table. He signed it, put the leg right back on, walked away. Credit to you if that's something that you're able to do.
No.
Eric Gagne, Dodgers closer today, told us that someone had him sign a Guns N' Roses vinyl album. which, again, if you own that, you are probably the only person in the world. Pop one. Yeah. So that's why you do something like that. But the Michael Vick Madden cover really blew me away.
Oh, yeah, that was the coolest one by far. And, I mean, I didn't get to see a whole lot of different stuff get signed, but I can't picture anything be, like, that cool. So, overall, this event has just been awesome. And, as I said, I'm bummed that we're leaving. Yeah. It's bummed that we're leaving the fan-sided crew here, but a lot of memories are made, and I cannot wait to come back here and also keep doing more podcasts with you.
So, for sure. Yeah, we're going to be live this week, so obviously everybody subscribe to the Baseball Insiders if you have not. You can join our Discord, too, to talk to us between shows, ask Robert Murray questions. Tomorrow, we are going to be off. We are not doing a live show on Monday after this crazy event, but next week, we'll pick it back up when we get a little bit further removed from the trade deadline. We're going to have a lot of great interview clips from the National going up on FanSided's YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Baseball Insiders, Yanks Go Yard. I talked to Bernie Williams yesterday, which was the most joyous experience I had getting anybody to stop. CC Sabathia stopped for us. I felt a lot of pressure. Yeah. Bernie just puts you at ease. I mean, he answered like 5-6 rapid-fire questions, and then he left. He was like, thank you, I'm sorry. I was like, what are you saying I'm sorry for? You just gave us absolute gold. Bernie was so, you know, just puts you at ease, so kind. I talked to Yadier Molina yesterday about his relationship with Bernie Williams, because I watched them, you know, dap each other up, hug, have a long conversation. Grew up in the, you know, Bernie's from the same area, Puerto Rico. He gave us a great answer on that. Jim Palmer gave us maybe the most enlightening answer about the Orioles post-trade deadline outlook for this year and next year under Mike Elias. No. So look for that to go up. Another heartwarming one that I didn't know we were going to be able to get, Ted Simmons today. Talked to, you know, just sort of asked every Hall of Famer, when you're back in Cooperstown, who do you like to catch up with? You know, who meant the most to you to see? And he starts rattling off, you know, Sandy Koufax came this year. That was incredible. Everyone was reverent around Sandy. But Ted Simmons said, the person I like to see whenever I go back to the Hall, because he was directly responsible for my election, is Robin Yount, who I know is here today, too. And I asked Ted, what do you guys talk about when you get together? You clearly still have an emotional connection with your teammate. And, yeah, he said, you know, share the love of motorcycles, but also just the game when they played it, the game as it's played now, how they've kept up with it, and obviously he is forever indebted to Robin Yount for getting him in the Hall. So any chance we get to talk to the old Hall of Famers, love to do that. And also, notably today, Marv Levy, the Bills coach, his 100th birthday is today. He is here. We saw Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas sing happy birthday to him and deliver a cake.
Awesome.
It did not, you know, you want to, the emotional apex of the whole event was the last, you know, couple of people we saw come out of the autograph section. You cannot beat that.
No, that's, I mean, that's as cool as it gets. And the fact that those guys still have the connection like that all these years later when they're bringing a birthday cake to him here, I mean, that says everything about those teams back then. So we absolutely love that. We love the camaraderie that sports brings overall. Yeah, it's just really special event, a lot of special people here, and yeah, really cool. I've said it 3 times. All right, I'll say it again. I'm excited to come back.
I am really excited to come back. Next year is obviously going to have an incredible slate, I'm sure, because this year's group was nuts. And we can't wait to upload all of this, show you guys all the content we got. Well worth it. All right. Should we dive into the trade deadline aftermath a little bit?
No.
We're out yet. Never mind. Sorry, everybody. We're not going to do that. Yesterday we talked, you know, we had a lot of reactions, winners, losers, and went in depth on a few teams that we really felt needed, you know, a deeper dive to try to figure out the confusion behind whatever was going on in the war room. Today I want to give out a few superlatives. I don't understand. I think I know the answer to this one, and obviously it's a team that we talked about a lot lately, but if you had to pick a team or executive that you are most confused by the way they ended and handled the trade deadline, who would that be and why?
Easily Ben Cherington with the Pittsburgh Pirates. They were in a position to really take advantage of a really weak trade deadline with not really many teams going all out and selling. The Twins obviously did that to an epic extent, and I don't think the Pirates needed to do it quite like that, but they had so many pieces where, I mean, they ended up moving a David Bednar, they moved some other players, but they still had Dennis Santana, they had Tommy Pham, Andrew Heaney, Mitch Keller, so many other players that they could have moved. Joey Bart was another,
yeah,
and I know he had interest out there as well, and they held on to these guys, and a lot of them are only signed for the rest of this season. They're not candidates to get the qualifying offer. They wanted to get better and have their chance of competing for next year, while also like not giving up on They'd want to be able to compete next year, but by moving most of those guys, you would have been able to do so. Maybe the one that you could argue it would impact their chances next year of moving would have been Mitch Keller. But they had Bubba Chandler still sitting there in the minors where they could have done that. But they held on to Mitch Keller. They held on to a lot of these other guys. I don't understand the plan. I think it's a team that needs a new voice at the helm. There's a lot of frustration around the league with what the Pirates have done or are not doing. And I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. It felt like the beginning of the end for Ben Cherington in Pittsburgh. I would not be surprised if he was not there next year. Who gets that job remains to be seen, but I don't know how much better that team can get with Bob Nutting as the owner there. And they are by far and away the most disappointing team leaving the deadline.
Yeah, I'll go even further and just say that there was some weird optimism, and even Bob Nightingale was tweeting when Don Kelly first took over. It was about a month plus into his tenure that they were a 500-ish team during that period. And I think even Nightingale said, got to be manager of the year consideration for Don Kelly. People said, hold the phone on that. And it, you were split because you want to praise the job that's being done and the leap forward that you're seeing, while also making note that, hey, we have to be more realistic here. We cannot give, partial credit. We can't throw someone into the awards race for 40 games of 500 baseball.
No.
And sadly, the detractors appear to have been correct. I don't think we've learned anything about Don Kelly. Again, no offense to Don Kelly. Positive or I don't have a negative view. I don't have a positive view.
Agreed.
Completely neutral. I can't say he comes out smelling the best out of Cherington and Nutting in the trio, but I don't think I've learned anything about the Pirates for 2026 from this entire season, which is the worst part.
Oh, it's awful. And, I mean, Kelly, he's a good baseball man. There's a lot of people who really respect him. And but as you said, we haven't learned much about him. But the part that drives me nuts about the Pirates is the media, the fans. A lot of people, like, when they refer to them, it's like we talk about them as a small market team. But yet we look at the Steelers, and they're one of the most iconic franchises in sports. Pittsburgh's not a small city by any means. Like, they are absolutely... It's a great sports town, and the Pirates should be considered a major market team, or at least a mid-market team, not a small market team. They should operate that way. It falls squarely on Bob Nutting, because even Paul Skene said that the money that they saved at the deadline needs to be reinvested in adding a bat to the lineup, and it's bats, multiple.
Tommy Pham doesn't count as reinvestment.
Maybe a little bit, slightly bigger, lot bigger than that. They were the team that, to me, if they actually spent, they made perfect sense for Pete Alonso this past offseason. There was no way in heck that was ever going to happen.
Yeah.
But it should be something that happens, because if they add an Alonso and maybe another piece on top of that, we're talking about the Pirates being an actual playoff team.
That's what's so funny. Pete Alonso is such a Pittsburgh guy. We know what the stereotype of a Pittsburgh guy is, the kind of hard-nosed athlete that city loves, but you don't think of that stereotype applying to the Pirates, because the Pirates have been so irrelevant for so long that you don't even think about what a hard-nosed grinder would do for that team, because it's been a decade where we have not seen much. All right, what about a bounce-back player who you're excited by? They changed teams at the trade deadline, maybe a bit overlooked on their old team. Given a bigger stage now somewhere else, who fits that mold for you?
It's a really good question, and I'm actually going to go in a bit of a different direction, and I can't call this a bigger stage. It actually took a smaller step. I'm going to go Dustin May.
Wow.
And the Red Sox, they are very good at developing pitching. And clearly they saw something in Dustin May where it's a rental option. But they gave up James Tibbs III, who is a top five prospect for them, one of the headliners of the Rafael Devers trade. And they gave up another piece on top of that. They clearly see something where they can maximize him. They can try to get him better and get him going into free agency as well. So I don't know what they necessarily saw or what they're going to try to do with him. They'd make him go to a next level. But he's a guy that clearly the Red Sox believe in him. A change of scenery could help getting him out of LA and getting him into Boston. Another one, he didn't switch teams, but the Red Sox with Walker Buehler.
Mm-hmm.
And them not acquiring a Joe Ryan or a Merrill Kelly or anything like that was a clear vote of confidence for a guy like Walker Buehler. So I wonder if he's primed to take the next step. But the Red Sox are going to need both of those guys to take that next step. Otherwise, they're going to end up being bounced out of the playoffs early. That's the reality at this point.
Yeah, statement sweep this weekend for the Red Sox against the Astros, and I would say they weren't ahead of the game in any pitching matchup all weekend. Hunter Brown, Cooper Criswell, Walker Buehler through yesterday. And today was Giolito against Framber Valdez, and he dominated. So that is a good way to start your post-trade deadline surge if you are the Red Sox.
And I'll also say this. The Yankees are six outs away from being swept by the Marlins.
They sure are.
The Marlins are legit, man. They're good.
Yeah, I think a lot of Yankee fans, and part of it is because the Friday night choke was so thorough and so terrible. No. I don't blame any Yankee fan for saying, oh, my God, swept in Miami by the Marlins. Could it get any worse? Friday night couldn't have gotten any worse, right? No. I totally get it. But Yuri Perez and Edward Cabrera just dominated you. There is nothing to be ashamed of about that other than, yeah. I mean, losses pile up and that sucks, right? Feels bad. But at the same time, anyone who's watched the Marlins go 9-1-1 in their last 11 series shouldn't be stunned that with those two pitchers going Saturday and Sunday, they took it to you. And Kyle Stowers homered today, hit a three-run shot, hit a grand slam Friday. First homer against the lefty all year for Stowers today. I don't know what the Marlins are for the rest of the season, but I'm kind of glad they kept Cabrera and Sandy Alcantara, and I would put them in one of these buckets of, I don't understand you after the trade deadline, but I'm kind of glad that you relied on continuity rather than stripping it down again. Because I was ready to yell at Peter Bendix for doing that. Like, I thought we might, on a show this weekend, I might scream about, why do you continue to reload for a time 3 years from now that may never arrive? Like, You have Cabrera and Sandy right now, and you're hot. Just ride the wave. And credit to them. They're not afraid to move pieces if they have to, or if there's an opportunity or an advantage, but they didn't think they needed to, and they're still rolling.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Yeah, I had executives around the league before the deadline say that if they were the Marlins, they would have held on to both of those guys.
Yeah.
And the chatter was loud that both could end up being on the move. And I thought it was going to happen. And all of a sudden, a couple hours before the deadline, it came to my attention. It was very likely that they were both going to be staying. And those two give them such a good foundation to build around. I mean, Sandy Alcantara has not had the year that anyone has wanted, but he's shown signs for sure. Edward Cabrera is very talented. Yuri Perez, I mean, they have pieces in that rotation where they can build around those guys, and it gives them a leg up on teams that not many others can compete with that level of talent. And they have Kyle Stowers. They have pieces in offense as well.
Yeah.
You keep building around that, you add talent around it, and you actually might have the makings of a postseason team. And the thing with all those pitchers is they're signed for relatively like affordable numbers. Like, it's, they're in a good situation there, and they have a chance to, if they build this thing right, they can actually get to the postseason or get back to the postseason and actually have a chance at competing. So I thought they handled the deadline really well. It was kind of a shift in thinking, but I would say if you look at their payrolls, they're probably 4 times lower than what the Yankees are, but yeah. The vibes surrounding both teams are just totally different. The Marlins are riding the high. They're doing very well. The Yankees are super talented, yet they're flawed. And the vibes are on them, especially after A-Rod and Derek Jeter bashed them.
Yep.
I don't think they could be lower at this point.
No, and if you switch coaching staffs, if you give Clayton McCullough to the Yankees, how much better are the Yankees right now? 4 or 5 games?
Man, that's a hell of a question. And the thing is like, I remember the last time that Clayton McCullough ended up interviewing in Miami, he was like, I think he was 10th on their list. Like, he did not impress at all. And he was an overlooked guy. And now, I mean, he's absolutely in the running for National League Manager of the Year. Done a tremendous job there. Still think Aaron Boone's a good manager, but it might be time for a new voice in New York. And I don't, maybe that's an overreaction to a really bad stretch. I don't know, but you can see it from his interviews, especially the one with the John Boy guys. It's starting to wear on him. It's starting to wear on his face for sure.
Yeah, and you wonder how much longer he wants to do something like this and have it wear on him when he could just rejoin the media. Aaron, there's a chair open for you. Rejoin the media. Come on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he does great at it. He was awesome in the media when he was there, and obviously he's done a good job in New York. He's been a good manager there.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult market to be a manager in, but it's the time might be coming for a new voice.
Yeah, I suspect that expiration date has passed. Similar, though, I'm wondering if there's a specific awkward fit at this potential deadline that you can think of where, hey, it doesn't need to be like, I don't like the player or I don't like the move, but just after a deal, these pieces don't quite fit. And I'm still looking at a fresh start in the future, maybe. Was there somebody who moved where you're like, I get what the acquiring team was doing, but I just don't love the idea of that person playing the role of savior or being called upon to do whatever they're supposed to do? Camilo Doval or David Bednar or Jake Bird count if you want to use them.
No, I feel like that's a low-hanging fruit. Yeah. I mean, considering what happened in their first game, not great. I don't know if this necessarily goes with what your question's asking, but it's like similar idea of like the fit that I don't understand is what the Tampa Bay Rays did. Mm-hmm. They sold off, but yet they added Griffin Jacks, they added Adrian Hauser. It was a weird deadline. I like Eric Neander. He's a very bright executive. I don't know. I didn't necessarily get it. So that to me feels like the team that I'm not a huge fan of what they ended up doing there. Jax is he's a very talented pitcher for sure. But I don't know. I did not necessarily feel it. What about you?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't think, I think it falls to Adrian Hauser going to the Rays too. I don't necessarily understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go for it.
I would say for me, like, I remember when I tweeted that Hauser went to the Yankees, and it turned out not to be the actual team. I got texted the wrong team. When I found out that Hauser was traded to the Rays, I got texted the wrong team again. And I meant to text my guy, like, you got Adrian Hauser? Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he went to the Rays. It made no sense to me at that moment because I thought they were going to be building for the future, and they added a rental arm. I don't know. I just did not get that one.
Yeah, a team that's somewhat treading water in the second half and a team that, you know, always reloads. And so you assume the Rays are going to do their classic hybrid buy sell and end up with a controllable piece for next year. And that is what the Yankees did. Yeah. By the way, Bednar, Bird, Doval, all these guys will be here in 2026, 2027. They made it very clear what they think of this year's Yankee team, which is basically in a playoff spot. We can't afford to not upgrade, but we're not going to upgrade just for 2025.
No, and that was brilliant thinking by them, because if you try to go all in for a rental arm at this deadline, you would have been good for this year. But looking forward, you would have been out those prospects. You would have been out those relievers most likely.
Yeah.
Cannot extend the qualifying offer to those guys. I mean, that would have been bad. But you have Bednar for next year. You have Doval for a long-term, Bird as well. I mean, it didn't work out for the first outing.
No.
But the vision was clear. I thought it was good movement by Brian Cashman. The noise in New York has been a lot about possibly changing general managers. I don't see that happening. I think Cashman's done a nice job there, even though some Yankees fans probably disagree with that.
I think he did as good of a job this deadline as he could have, although, again, one game in and everybody fell apart, so that'll change the tone a little bit. We'll see if anybody gets a little more positive moving forward. I think I know your answer on this one, but the boldest chance someone took that you just have to respect, whether it works out or not.
Oh, I would say, if we're talking effort, I would go Mackenzie Gore with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
I respect the absolute heck out of the Cubs trying for Mackenzie Gore. They made a push, never came close, though. What the Nationals were asking for in return was just way too much that the Cubs could not even consider it. It was one of the more extensive prospect packages I think I've ever heard of in a trade. But if we're talking boldest, I mean, it's obvious. It's A.J. Preller.
Yeah. It's A.J. Preller for me.
Yeah, I mean, the job that he did in getting Mason Miller, J.P. Sears, Ryan O'Hearn, Ramon Laureano, a catcher, I mean, he filled all the needs. And I thought that was impossible for him to do without giving up I mean, everyone and their mother. I thought they would have to give up Dylan Cease or Robert Suarez. They kept both of them. It is clear with how he's operating that he's all in for this year. They're still built to win next year, although Laureano and O'Hearn are both free agents by the end of the year, so they could be without them. And O'Hearn's probably looking at a three-year deal for $45 million-ish range.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be cheap to keep him, and I don't think they're going to be able to do that. But for this year, they are easily the best competition for the Dodgers. They're all in to win this year. I respect it because I wish more executives operated like A.J. Preller with conviction, with the aggressiveness, because it would make baseball an even better game than it is now.
That is also, I think, the Yankee fans who want to see a change from Brian Cashman. They want to see someone come into New York and act a bit more like A.J. Preller.
Yeah.
The urgency to win the World Series every year, and I think Yankee fans will cite that Brian Cashman and the defenders will cite that they got this deadline's a good example. Because, again, I don't think that you can go all in on 2025. I think they made the right call. But the people who will criticize Brian Cashman, Yankee fans who are in his corner, will say, look at what he did this year without surrendering any of the Yankees' top seven prospects. Yeah. And the detractors will say, what have the Yankees' prospects done over the past decade, 15 years, to justify not sacrificing any of the top seven prospects when A.J. Preller got Mason Miller?
Yeah.
Like, the Yankees got Bednar, love it. Bird, love it. Duvall, great chance. Mason Miller was the best reliever who went anywhere at this trade deadline. The Yankees did not get him or make a play for him. Not that they could compete with Leo DeVries, right?
No.
That's the differentiating factor. But at the same time, you're bragging about holding on to your top seven prospects, and Padres fans are saying, we don't care. We got the best player available. We want a ring.
No, that's precisely it. And once the Padres made DeVries, or that's how you pronounce his name, right?
Leo DeVries?
Yeah, Leo DeVries. Once they made him available, that's when the A's actually like legitimately considered making Mason Miller available. He was a piece that was too valuable, but the A's, they maximized that return for Mason Miller. And the Cleveland Guardians got to be a team that's just kicking themselves right now, because Emmanuel Clase was very likely going to be traded if he did not get suspended. And I bet you he would – well, that's a really bad phrasing for that. But he would. I thought he would have been most likely been a San Diego Padre. And DeVries could have ended up being a Cleveland Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
It could have changed the overall direction of that franchise. Instead, he's on the suspended list. We don't know where he's going to be now. There's been no updates on the investigation.
Yeah.
Despite some reports from Hector Gomez.
That the more is coming. Yeah.
And he said there's irrefutable evidence against him. And I... Yeah, you're innocent until proven guilty in this country. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. But that was a huge missed opportunity for the Guardians. Not their fault. It just their closer, not very smart.
And we'll do a positive twist for the sellers here, too, to wrap up this trade deadline section. Some teams cleared space for prospects, and the Pirates didn't clear enough, because we all want to see Bubba Chandler, and unfortunately we're going to be watching some more Andrew Heaney starts. We'd love if they could be one of the teams that we're about to mention here, but are there any prospects who you are most excited to see get a chance in the second half who've now had a path cleared for them by deadline maneuvering?
Oh, it's not even his path hasn't been cleared. It's Bubba Chandler.
Yeah,
for sure.
Still Bubba.
Yeah, Bubba Chandler, if he was called up earlier in the season, which he absolutely should have been, he would have been the National League Rookie of the Year. He is that good. We've seen Jacob Mizrowski take the league by storm. That's exactly what would have happened here with Bubba Chandler if he was called up to the majors. And funny enough, the Pirates have an opening on Monday for a starting pitcher. It's somehow not going to be Bubba Chandler.
Do we know who it's going to be?
I have an idea. I bet you it'll end up being Johan Oviedo.
Okay.
The fact that it's not Bubba Chandler is sickening. I have no idea why they're not calling him up. To me, he's probably got to get bored in AAA because he should have been in the majors 2 months ago. He could end up being in the majors after the first week of the regular season. He's been that good. And I don't understand what they're doing. Maybe they're just trying to save as much money as they can in the short and long term and have him under contract on the rookie contract for another year. But they should be ashamed of themselves for how they're handling this. And baseball needs to see Bubba Chandler, because if you have Paul Skeens, Bubba Chandler, Jared Jones when he returns, mm-hmm. Mitch Keller, I mean, what rotation competes with that? I mean, we talked about the Marlins before, but that somehow exceeds what Miami's got.
Yeah, I'm going to give more credit to the Marlins. I thought I'd never seen a more anonymous roster in April, just in terms of, you know, not a negative or a positive, not washed up veterans, not nobodies, not career has-beens, but just it seemed like stuck in neutral, to say the least, like a quad A group of just tryouts. I mean, it really didn't feel like there was anything long term there that was being built up. And credit to them, they have found a lot of emerging pieces. The Pirates could easily be that. Like, Jared Triolo could make his presence felt. But regardless, right now, we don't really see what we need to see. And that rotation needs to exist before I credit them. Now, second half, you know, technically I would say the second half was even before the All-Star break. But now we're headed into the final 2 months of the season. People have reloaded at the trade deadline or failed to, and some look better than others. Did any team enter your playoff field after their trade deadline moves? Did anybody fall out? Were there any seismic shifts in who you're predicting will make it to October after the deadline we just saw?
I'll go with the Kansas City Royals, and I have a really fun inside scoop on how one of their trades happened here. So the Royals, they were in a spot where they could either bought or they could have sold. They kept Seth Lugo, they extended him.
Yeah.
They added Randall Grichuk, they added Mike Yastrzemski. And the Yastrzemski deal is kind of what I want to dive into here. And they're I want to say they're 6-4 in their last 10. They're one game under 500, so they're still in the thick of things.
They're heading
for sure
to Boston tomorrow, too. And Astros, yeah, Red Sox was not as exciting as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Royals Red Sox has the potential to be very interesting. And Mike Yastrzemski coming back to Fenway, yeah, he always hits there.
Oh, he does. And so that trade was not on my radar. It was not even on the Giants' radar until the last 10 minutes. The Royals cold called the Giants late at the end and asked them for Yastrzemski. And they got the deal done from start to finish in, I believe, 5 minutes, which that never happens.
No, I don't even know how that's possible.
No, because my focus was on the Doval trade, and I was waiting for the go text when it was on a one-yard line. After that, I thought it was over. But the Royals called the Giants late into the process and acquired Yastrzemski within 5 minutes. I've never heard of anything like that. People involved with both sides have never experienced anything like that with a player of his magnitude. It was a very rare trade overall. And, I mean, he hit a home run in his first game or first at bat with Kansas City.
First at bat, yeah.
Which, that says everything. So, I really like that move from the Royals. It was a savvy move late in the process, and they're going to end up being better off for it now and just going forward because of it.
I like that pick. And, again, no one is too far out of the AL playoffs. Don't sleep on the Guardians. Like, they did not sell Stephen Kwan. They are not dead in the water, and they're a couple games over 500 and, like, two games back. I believe they're tied with the Rangers in the loss column, and right now the Rangers are the team chasing down the Mariners and DOA Yankees. So anything is possible. I would not rule the Guardians or Royals out yet. What about for next year? Like, did anybody set themselves up to make a 2026 playoff run? Anybody that is out of it this year and who you think after the deadline you go, okay, I actually like their one-year runway a lot more now than I did before the deadline?
Is the Marlins a bad pick?
No, I don't think the Marlins are a bad pick. I think this is a pro-Marlins podcast for all the right reasons. And yeah, I'm not just saying that because they're kicking the Yankees' ass right now.
No, I mean they are kicking
Which they are doing, yeah, yeah, but that's not the only reason I'm saying it.
But keeping those pitchers, I mean, that puts them in position to either maximize them in the offseason when they can actually, like, be patient and try to maximize their value in the offseason, or they can just hold on to them and try to win for next year, which I hope like hell that they absolutely do, because if they keep those pitchers and they end up adding a hitter or two and keep building around that team, we're talking about an absolute postseason team. So if they do that in the offseason, which, I mean, at this point, I think the case can be made for it, they're absolutely firmly on my postseason radar. I know. Can I dive into a team that I think does not make the postseason next year?
Absolutely.
The Minnesota Twins.
No, I don't think this is crazy. I also don't think the Minnesota Twins are making the playoffs next year.
Unbelievable. We're on the same page. But yeah, that was an epic sell-off by the Twins, and their window went from being open to closed very quickly. So, yeah, that's an easy answer after, what, selling 10 players?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because if you're a Twins fan, the Twins are about to go through this thing that happens to teams that are on the bubble and borderline every year, where Louis Varland has already made an impact in Toronto. And I feel like Twins fans were screaming about he's underrated, give him more of a shot, give him more runway. And of course, they don't. They sell him to a team that is willing to throw him into the fire of a playoff race. And he is making a difference 3 games in. And I think there's a good case to be made that it happens to at least one team every year where the I told you so young player prospect trades, where Louis Varland could take center stage on an AL East winner and into the DS, CS, etc. And Twins fans are going to get a great opportunity to say, I knew this was coming. I don't know if this is painful or vindicating, but yeah, I saw this coming. You should have too, and here he is.
Yeah, and that trade was, that caught him totally off guard. He was, I mean, he was chilling with his teammates back home, back at the team hotel, and all of a sudden the phone popped up, and it was the Twins' general manager telling him, hey, bro, you're getting traded. And he's got, what, 5+ years of control left in his contract, born and raised in Minnesota. He felt like as safe of a player as it gets to stay, and yet he got traded, and that shook the clubhouse. I mean, that and the Carlos Correa trade, where he got traded for a bag of potatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, that shook up the clubhouse in a big way. And if I was a Twins player now, I would look at their roster and be like, especially if I'm Byron Buxton, like, why am I here? He's there. He wants to be there. He views Minnesota as a place that he wants to retire. But yeah, overall, I mean, that's a hell of a deadline. It was, Falvey did a good job in maximizing it for sure, but you got to wonder how much that ownership situation and just the uncertainty there contributed to that.
Do you think Byron Buxton reevaluates that loyalty piece at all this offseason?
He should do the opposite of what Mike Trout has done and like seek a trade, because his career is going to go to waste in Minnesota at this point, because they're so far away from contending.
All right, one final question. The current playoff field, far from set, especially in the wild cards, although the NL wild cards starting to differentiate themselves a little bit. You've got the Red Sox, Yankees, and Mariners chilling in the AL wild card picture with the Rangers, Guardians, Royals, all those teams right behind them.
Yep.
As of today, with about, again, 60 games left, maybe a little bit less, is there any movement in either of the playoff fields? Do you think the NL and AL are set, or is there choking left to be done? Who can sneak in?
Oh, there's always choking to be done. I would say, like, I'm going to go through the divisions right now just so I can have my. I think the AL East goes to the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers win the Central. Astros win the West, so I think
The Astros were very confusing to me this weekend. I'll say that right now. But half of the lineup did not look intimidating.
No.
You hear Astros going to Boston, right? Correa, Bregman, you know, the face-off. And you're like, well, this is going to be intense. And then the lineup comes out. Jesus Sanchez is batting third. Mauricio Dubon has a primary spot. Like, all of a sudden, you're looking at the Astros going, I'm actually not surprised this team got walked off 1-1 in 10 innings in the opener. Yeah. There's not much firepower there.
No, there's not. But I believe in their pedigree.
You can never write. I will refute. The day I write off the Astros is the day I stop commentating on baseball. It's ridiculous to do that. But I was less than impressed with what they brought this weekend.
Oh, totally. And same here with me. And I think that pedigree eventually shows itself. I don't know. I got to see the Mariners do it in order to believe it.
Yeah.
So we'll see with them. That's why I'm going with the Astros. So I'm going off of prior history here. Going to the National League here. Yeah. And then we want to dive into the wild card teams too?
No, hit me with the National League.
So let's do National League. I think Philadelphia ends up overtaking the Mets.
Yeah.
I really like what they've done there. I think the Brewers run away with that division, and they end up having the best record in baseball by the end of the season. And then I got the Dodgers winning the division, but I have the Padres advancing to the World Series as a wild card team. I'm a huge believer in the Padres, not the Pirates.
No, I mean, if we've made anything clear over the course of the show, we are not huge believers in the Pirates.
No.
I'm with you. I do think at the end of the day, when the dust settles, the American League wild card picture ends up with at least one new team involved. I think the Mariners, again, I don't think they did anything wrong at the deadline. I think Naylor Suarez is, we've been begging them to get bats. They did it. But the Yankees free fall combined with the Mariners' annual history of slipping in September, combined with a Red Sox team that I think is playing over their heads a bit right now,
yep.
I am very impressed with what they've done. But there's not a sure thing lock in that mix. This Red Sox team tends to play up to their competition, especially at home, and then down to their competition on the road. So I could see any one of those teams falling out. Right now, if I had to pick one, it's the Yankees, who do not make it. But I was riding high with them 3 days ago. I thought they reinforced their bullpen exactly as much as they had to and looked like as safe a bet as any to come out of the American League this year. So I'm not letting one series in Miami give me just the heebie-jeebies and say, all right, they're dead, they're cooked, as cursed as they looked. So I'm going to make the not-so-bold prediction that one of these three wildcard teams drops out and Texas does make it. I'm not sure whose spot they're taking, though.
Because if you look at it right now, and I just pulled it up, you have Boston, New York, and Seattle.
Yeah.
What? I mean, that Texas is absolutely there. And if they make it, the rotation's nasty. I mean, that's a rotation that I would not want to face whatsoever. I mean, shoot, that's tough. Who overtakes Texas? Who overtakes them? I think you're right. I'm going to go Boston, Seattle, and Texas. That's going to end up being my guess with the Yankees falling out. So
yeah,
sorry about that. I know you're going to probably never talk to me again because I said that.
No, I mean, here's the thing. That's what we said. We endorsed the Red Sox. I think the Yankees are as ghastly as they've been in years right now, and I think any Yankee fan would tell you, like, the collapse has already happened. So I don't think, we always get people asking me, how would you react if the Yankees collapse and fall out of the playoffs this year? They were up 10 games. They've already collapsed. Like, right now, they're just trying to fight it out with a three-game lead on a playoff spot. Like, the collapse already happened. Now they're in a dogfight. We'll see if they have what it takes to handle it, and we'll see where the dust settles on the playoff field at the end of the year. Now, we've waited long enough. We got a big pile of cards up here. We even have a proactive Piranha V friends.
I got to out myself.
Yeah.
With this card right here. I thought before the show, Adam showed it to me. I looked it up. I thought it was worth $300. It's actually worth $1.49. So that is about as embarrassing as it gets.
Robert told me we had a $300 card in our hands. I think it's $1.49, the non-refractor version. Somebody left a whole bunch of cards here. Wes Welker, insert, Legends of the Fall, Billy Sims, whole bunch of absolute base. You're an absolute joker if you left this, which you did. Daniel Jones, I mean, this has got to be a $300 card, the Danny Dimes Giants base card. But we are here we got some Leaf anniversary, 15th anniversary, national exclusive pack to rip. Thank you to the people at Leaf who dropped this off for the Baseball Insiders. We are so excited to get a chance at this. I watched somebody rip one of these earlier this morning and pull an Ozzie Smith 1-of-1 auto. This is like all sports. This is all, jurisdictions. This is a crazy product, and Leaf really pulled it together for the National. And they even dropped off an AJ and a big Justice card numbered parallel. So, again, make sure you get a good shot of that. Don't want to let that hit the cutting room floor to flash that to every camera. It's not every day that you see an AJ and a big Justice refractor, especially not both of them in the same spot. So, what do you say we rip this? See if we can pull. I mean, a Rizzler auto would be great. I didn't see the Rizzler yet today.
I would crap my pants if we end up getting a Rizzler one.
Well, yeah. I think everything in here is numbered, I believe. And yes, I did watch some of these breaks at the hotel earlier this morning to try to get prepared for this. The Ozzie Smith with a crazy pull. There are minis in here. So let's see what we've got. This has been rolling around in my backpack all day. I've been anxious. This is my first rip of the National. Because I was using it on I was using my budget on vintage and autos. And so this is my first rip of the whole tourney, and I like the name in the back. If this is signed, I'll go crazy. I don't know if it is. We're starting off with a Nolan Ryan mini, numbered 1-of-4 in the Astros jersey. That is sweet, and I'm glad I brought top loaders for this. And the second, my wife is going to love this, is a Kim Mulkey in a pink jacket, sport coat, looking flashy, screaming at a referee, trying to get proper treatment. Let's see if this one's numbered. This one is 4-of-4 on the Mulkey, so doubles out of 4. And then we'll close it off. Our producer, Sean Daly, this is for you. An out of 75. Philly, gold level Charles Barkley. This is sick. And so no autos, but every card a parallel. The Nolan Ryan is going to be personal collection for me, unless you want it. The Mulkey, I think I'm going to give this to my wife for her birthday. And Sean, you go ahead and grab that Barkley.
Yeah, Sean deserves that Barkley one because I watched his face go like, ooh, after you opened that.
Gold Leaf Stars, too, I read this wrong. He said it was out of 75. This is out of 15. So this is yours out of 15. Wow. It's the highest numbered card in the pack, unfortunately. The Nolan Ryan 1-of-4 is going right to my desk. Leaf is honored to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the 2025 NSEC. We sincerely hope you enjoy your card. We'd like to express our gratitude for your support throughout this journey. We are grateful. Thanks to the people at Leaf. I'm going to be ripping more of their products, although this one's an exclusive for here. You can't get this anywhere else, so no more of this for me, but I'll be on the lookout for some other Leaf moving forward.
Darn right, that's freaking cool. I wish we had a Rizzler autograph in there, but we'll settle for those for sure.
I'm pretty mad we didn't get a Rizzler auto, and honestly, why wasn't the Rizzler appearing at the autograph portion of this show? Where was TriStar? Do you guys not have good contacts with the Rizzler? Like, do you not have a current phone number? I could probably get the Rizzler's number, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, he's a Rizzler. I mean, I'm assuming a lot of people
have his number. I don't know if the Rizzler has a phone, but...
he shouldn't. What, how old is he, like 10?
I think he's a pretty young man. And we'll see you at next year's National. Hopefully the Rizzler is there. Hopefully the autos aren't going for too high a price. Maybe get it authenticated at the TriStar booth afterwards. My wish list next year, Eddie Murray, Robin Yount, and Rizzler on an 8x10, or maybe on an all-star game ball, whatever feels most appropriate.
No, exactly. I'm very excited for next year. I appreciate our big crowd that we got here. And, we're having an absolute ball. So I appreciate everyone who showed up today. Adam, I appreciate you. Hunter, Sean Daly, Richard, all of us, we appreciate you guys big time. I can't wait to be back here next year. Glad to be doing this with you, my guy. Absolutely love you. Yeah, let's dominate.
Glad to be doing this with you. Love you, dude. And if you can find me in the next 5 minutes, this Kyle Duggar Absolute Football base card is yours. Seriously, not numbered, not a good player. It's free. You just have to find me, track me down. Join us on the Baseball Insiders on YouTube, FanSided YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. So much great content from the National coming your way. So thrilled with the people that we talk to. And somebody needs to meet their party at the Lost and Found, because this is honestly very intrusive at this point. You got to find your parents, my guy. It is essential. So join us on the Baseball Insiders YouTube. This will be up on that channel. Follow us. Become a member. Robert Murray and I will see you later this week for a live show as the baseball season continues.
Let's do it. Appreciate you, dude.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.